The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 26. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 26. Allow me to read the words of God. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Amen. Today is Worship Sunday, September 17th. For Christians, Worship Sunday is not a regular Sunday, but the day of the Lord set apart to worship our triune God. That's why we dropped everything and came to church to worship God. Today is an important day for Christians because it's a Worship Sunday, not because today's date is September 17th. To church members attending the service today, some may have not even paid attention to today's date. For those who know that today is September 17th, many will forget today's date later. So if one needs to refer to today, he may recall that it was the third Sunday of September rather than today was September 17th. On the other hand, today's date, September 17th, may be an important date for some of our church members, while the day of the week doesn't matter as much. For example, today may be a birthday, a wedding anniversary, or a loved one passed away. For them, today's date may be more important than which day of the week it is. For them, September 17th is not just one of 365 days in a year. For them, September 17th is a distinctive day with a special meaning in their lives. Even if a year is composed of 365 days, even if time passes, people cannot forget the days that have a special meaning for them. The meaning of their lives is embedded in those special days, and those days allow them to refresh upon the meaning of their lives. When we get out of the city, there are stones all over the place because they are of no value. If they were valuable as collectible stones, someone would have picked them up already. However, if one has displayed seemingly worthless stones that cannot be distinguished from stones in the street in his living room, the owner keeps it because it has a special meaning. If the stone was picked up before leaving his countryside home during his childhood, the stone cannot be a typical stone. The stone is a keepsake of his childhood memories. Not only that, the memories of his late parents are also embedded in the stone. So the stone is like a semiconductor chip with a part of his life engraved in it. If a common stone from the streets carries such a special meaning, it cannot be a worthless stone anymore. A meaningful stone is a representation of absolute value that is incomparable to other things of the world. Go boards are made of 19 by 19 lines, and there are 361 points to place a go stone. On the go board, two players alternate turns, laying out a white stone and a black stone for about 250 times on average to win. I've explained before that the difference between a pro and an amateur lies in replaying the record of the game. After the game is over, a pro can exactly replay the game by how each player placed each of 250 stones. An amateur cannot even dream of doing so. To an amateur, a gold stone is just a same-sized stone. So after the game is over, it's impossible to remember the order of how each stone was laid out during the game. To a pro, a gold stone is not a regular stone. To a pro, a gold stone is the expression of his intention. On the goal board of a pro, not just stones are placed, but rather their intentions are reflected in harmony. So the pro can exactly recall the order of 250 stones by the intention of the player. It may be hard to remember the order of how same stones are placed, but they cannot forget the intention behind each stone. People usually use hand gestures while talking with someone. But after the conversation, they forget which gesture was used and the order of their gestures because there was no meaning in the gesture. But a ballerina knows exactly how her body moves during a two-hour performance and dances accordingly because her gestures are also an expression of her intentions. There's no gesture or body motion made without a meaning. Ballet is a form of dance expressing the artist's intentions. This is why meanings and intentions are important. Even if a year is made of 365 days, a day with meaning is not a regular day. There may be many stones in the street, but a stone with a meaning is no longer just a regular stone. A pro provides meaning to an average of 250 gold stones and chases after the intention behind the order of the stones. Ballet is a series of meaningful motions. Spiritual life is the same. The ship Paul boarded was swept away by a deadly northeaster storm. Not only did the passengers on the Alexandrian ship starve for several days, but they did not know where they were headed in the sheer darkness without sunshine and stars in the sky. They lost any hope of being saved and were overwhelmed by the hopelessness of death. However, there was one person who stood up in the midst of despair. That was St. Paul. He stood up not because of his firm determination or conviction. He was able to stand up while everyone was devastated in despair because God had raised him up with his words. Amidst the deadly northeaster winds, God had promised that he will have Paul stand at the emperor's court as his Repertus and Martus, and that everyone on the ship was entrusted to Paul. These were God's words given to Paul. No matter how deadly were the northeaster winds, nothing could stop Paul, who was to stand at the emperor's court as God's Repertus and Martus. Paul declared that he has faith in God that it will happen just as he told him. That was Paul's confession regarding God's words. And he concluded his declaration as the following. Verse 26. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Paul did not say, we may land on some island, or I don't know whether we will land on some island. He firmly concluded that we must run aground on some island. As I explained last time, that was Paul's interpretation of the situation in front of him. According to God's words given to him in the deadly northeaster winds, Paul had interpreted that they will run aground on some island given the current circumstances. If even the deadly northeaster winds are by God's providence, then God would not lead Paul, God's Repertus and Martus, to an opposite direction away from Rome, where the emperor's court is. Even if Paul did not know which direction the Alexandrian ship was headed, Paul believed that he was pushing the ship towards Rome, where the emperor's court is located. If that is true, then the Alexandrian ship was surely going to land on some island in the Mediterranean towards Rome. Also, as I explained last time, ...276 passengers on the Alexandrian ship, including Paul, safely landed in Malta. And they spent the winter there until spring arrived. According to the map, this island is situated midway between Crete, where the Alexandrian ship departed, and Rome, the capital of the empire. What Paul had interpreted had become true. The situation they had faced was not like a one-way street where there was a clear way out. Instead, they had been floating in the Mediterranean for several days, unable to look ahead in pitch darkness. The Mediterranean surrounds the European, Asian and African continent, and so it covers a distance of 4,000 kilometers from east to west and 1,600 kilometers in width. The entire surface area is about 2,969,009,000 kilometers squared. The surface area of South Korea is about 100,000 kilometers squared, so the surface area of the Mediterranean is about 30 times that of South Korea. Currently, the Alexandrian ship is not traveling along a regular path under the command of the captain. In the deadly northeaster winds, the Alexandrian ship had lost control and was deviating from the regular path, so the passengers did not know where they were going to. The ship could land on some island, but they could also continue to float in the Mediterranean, which was 30 times the size of South Korea, and lose their lives on the boat. However, everyone on the Alexandrian ship landed, as Paul interpreted, on Malta, an island midway towards Rome, the capital of the empire, and everyone was saved. An island is a rock or some land surrounded by ocean on all sides. The average depth of the Mediterranean is about 1,458 meters, and the maximum depth is about 4,404 meters. So, if an island is in the Mediterranean, it is supported by a considerable size of the island below the sea surface. Even if some mass covers a large extent in the ocean, if it is below the sea surface, then it cannot be an island. But the island of Malta was firmly standing in the track of the Alexandrian ship, which had been swayed by the deadly northeaster winds. And thanks to the island, all 276 passengers aboard the ship could be saved. If the island did not keep its place on the path of the Alexandrian ship that had lost its track by the northeaster wind, more tragic outcome may have awaited 276 passengers. Thus, to Paul, who had interpreted that they must run aground on some island, the island could not be a regular island. When Paul, who had persecuted the church, was called to be God's Preparatus and Martyrs on the road to Damascus, Paul was not by himself. Paul surely had companions in the scene. There were a team going to arrest Christians in Damascus along with Paul. However, only Paul was called by God at that spot. It was not because Paul was most ethical or exemplary person. Paul was the head of the arrest team going to catch Christians in Damascus. Among them, Paul was the greatest enemy of God. Nevertheless, God, instead of focusing on others, called Paul his greatest enemy as his preparatus and martyrs. Paul himself could not understand or explain God's mysterious decision and calling with his reasoning and intellect. Finally, the answer Paul received by faith, beyond his reasoning and intellect, is given in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. Before creation, beyond time and space, God had chosen Paul in Jesus Christ to be his child. So when the timing was ripe, God pinpointed Paul from the arrest team on the road to Damascus and chose Paul as God's Repertus and Martus. The answer, Paul, who had been the only one chosen from the group on the road to Damascus, could give about the mysterious salvation of God was that God had chosen him and predestined his salvation before creation. There could be no other answer than God. It was the same for the island of Malta, where everyone aboard the Alexandrian ship, including Paul, had landed. The island was not like one of many islands floating in the sea. The meaning behind the island was totally different from any other island. The island was the gateway to life that God had prepared in the track of the Alexandrian ship that Paul was boarding in the deadly northeaster storm, so that Paul could stand in the emperor's court as God's Repertus and Martus. God did not make the island haphazardly after seeing that Paul was swept by the deadly northeaster storm in the Mediterranean. Rather, the island had been created when God had created heaven and earth. The island had been predestined for Paul beyond time and space. Moreover, according to Paul, the island was a stepping stone to life, predestined for Paul before creation. Verses 42 to 44 explain the situation when the Alexandrian ship landed on the shore of the island. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Soldiers who were in charge of transporting the prisoners were afraid that they would be penalized if prisoners escaped from the ship that ran aground, so they thought it'd be better to kill the prisoners. However, the director of the transportation, Centurion Julius, stopped them to rescue Paul, the prisoner on trial, who has saved them from the northeastern storm. The centurion ordered those who could swim to jump overboard, and the rest to get on planks or other pieces of the ship to Malta. As a result, verse 44 confirms that in this way, everyone reached land safely. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Everyone finally landed by the stepping stone of life that God had predestined for Paul before creation, and they were completely freed from the deadly northeaster storm that had taken away any hope of salvation. At that moment, how touched would Paul have been? Even when Paul left the island to roam next spring, could Paul forget that island? Even when Paul was imprisoned in Rome, whenever he thought about the Mediterranean, Paul would be freshly reminded of the island of Malta, which had been prepared as the stepping stone of life for him by God. The island of Malta is not the only memory. To Paul, living as God's preparatus and martyrs, everything in this world was the graceful guidance of God, predestined for him before creation. And every day was also grace-filled days, predestined by God before creation. For Paul, who lived as preparatus and martyrs of God, his life was a series of meaningful moments. The series of those meaningful moments did not fade away or disappear, even after Paul was executed for God. After his death, the significance of his life was eternally redeemed by God as eternal words of God, represented as the Gospel of Acts in the Bible. The Gospel of Acts, which shows the series of meanings represented in Paul's life, has become the living stone of life predestined for us to live as God's preparatus and martyrs before creation, beyond time and space. We have learned about the Greek word exagorazo in the New Beginners class, Mature Believers class, and Class for the Called. The word means to dredge up or to redeem. Paul tells us to make the most of the time in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. The Greek word that has been translated as to make is exagorazo. To make the most of the time is not about doing many things efficiently, racing against the clock, as many people usually think. When Paul recommends us to make the most of the time, he is saying that we should redeem time. Even if one takes care of many things all day long against the clock, if the results are to vanish like bubbles, he has not made the most of the time. For things that will vanish away like bubbles, he has wasted away a day of his precious life granted by God. To make the most of the time is to redeem every second that passes away in every moment. Time can be redeemed to have eternal meaning, and the eternal meaning lies in the Lord who conquered death and rose again in 3 days. In the Lord, the time redeemed with eternal meaning does not fade away or disappear. Even if a year is composed of 365 days, a day of meaning is not just another day. Even if there are many stones lying around, a stone with a meaning is no longer just a regular stone. To a pro, the gold stone is not a regular stone, but a combination of meanings. Ballet is considered art because it's a series of intentions. If things of the world, which exist today are thrown away into the oven tomorrow, have absolute meanings like this, how could the time redeemed in God with eternal meaning fade away or disappear? Every day, let's open our eyes as God's preparatus and martis. Whatever we do all day long, let the work be an instrument for God. When our day is over, may we go to sleep with God in our hearts. Days that are lived like so will become stepping stones of life, predestined for us by God. Our time that is spent like the series of stepping stones every day will be redeemed with eternal meaning, and those meaningful moments will become a new gospel of act for this generation. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we reflected on the past and whether we made the most of our time. Although we lived busy lives racing against the clock, all of our past has vanished without a trace. We reflect upon what is the meaning of our lives. Except for the vanity of life, there is no meaning to be found. Thank you for reminding us through today's scripture that time can be redeemed with eternal meaning, and eternal meaning is only in the Lord who conquered death and rose again in 3 days. May every day of our lives be redeemed with special meaning because of you. Even if stones lying all over the place are valueless, may we not forget the meaning of ourselves, predestined by God before creation. May our movements be a series of meanings in the Lord, and may our lives be a combination of meanings for the Lord. Thus may our daily endeavors continue as living stones of life, predestined for us by God, before creation, beyond time and space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.